Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I need you to help me out here this morning as I start my sermon. I'm going to give a status update to my Facebook account. Can you help me? Do you guys do this? Do you do status updates on your Facebook account? I know some of you do this. This is an apparatus that has really changed, actually, the way of communication and sharing about yourself in the last 10 to 15 years. The way this works is you put down some of your feelings and what you're doing. You might even take a picture, you post it, and it goes out into the community and with all your friends. So I'm going to write here just a little message. Here at Peace Lutheran Church on All Saints Sunday, and you can take a picture and you know, capture yourself in the moment. There we go. Oh, I'm so vain, aren't I? Oh, there you go. You can tag some friends, you know how this works, and maybe the location that you are to give people more information about your status. And then the most important part, a status update on Facebook, is to put an emoji. That's a little face, you know, depicting maybe your feelings or what you're going through, that sort of thing. So I'm going to choose peaceful. I'm at Peace Lutheran Church. I'm going to put peaceful. All right, there we go. And I'm not going to send this out to everyone here, but if I were, I'll bet you a whole bunch of people would pick up their phones and say, I want to see if he really posted that on his status. Elaine, all right, hold on to it. We'll get back to this towards the end of my message here. You know, experts say that when posting on Facebook your status update, you're supposed to do it 10 times, 10 times throughout the week. In order to get the most reach with the community and friends that you're in contact with, 10 times you're to do this. Now, I know some of you, I'm not going to name any names, but we have some people that post more than 10 times with status updates. I'm a slacker. I only probably put up maybe once a month, something like that. You know, the status update feature on Facebook shows just how much we care about our status. How we are accepted by the community that we, the community of friends that we have and the community that we live in. You know, I don't think that's changed at all since the time of Jesus. Do we care about our status, how we're seen by others and those around us? Even if you're not on Facebook, of course you do. Sociologists will say that there are two ways to increase your status. I want to talk about them here this morning. The studies show this. The first is you have to achieve something great. If you achieve something great, people will take notice and you'll get recognition and your status will go up. It's like you're being elevated on a platform sort of thing. What are some ways to achieve things? You climb a mountain, you have an athletic achievement, you get an extra degree. You might win a position for the city council. That gives you a status update that people will recognize. You know, what I've noticed with status updates, or just with status in general, is that people are so wanting to achieve things that they kind of embellish their achievements. Have you noticed that? Politicians talk about what they've done, or how many followers they have, and it's a little expanded. Politicians talk about the years of service that they did in the military when they actually never did any years. We have a few politicians that have done that. Athletes do something. Athletes take performance-enhancing drugs so that they can have a higher status and perform better so that they get a greater following. Students, younger students, you do this too. You're not out of the woods here. Have you ever fibbed about your report card at school? Have you ever gotten a C but then come home and said, Mom, I actually got an A minus? Workers that are trying to get a job, it's so common these days to add a little extra degree that you accomplished or a skill set that you might have. People today are so willing to increase their status that they're willing to lie and fib to look a little better in the community. So that's the first way you can increase your status. Achieve something amazing or fib about it. Maybe you might do that. That's what most people do. Now, there's a second thing that you can do to increase your status, sociologists say, And there's nothing you can do about this. It may put you in the dumps here this morning, or it may make you feel really good. It might go one of two ways, so be careful. Just a little note here. Your status can be determined by just the family that you're born into or your situation. My dad tells the story, and my dad's a teacher, so he kind of exaggerates things. I don't know if this is completely true, but I think there's a lot of truth in it. He tells the story that in Havre, Montana, there were two kinds of people. There were the haves and the have-nots. If you were born into the haves, boy, status came your way. If you were born into the have-nots, people looked at you kind of questioningly. And the two families in Havre, Montana, the one family that were the haves were the Rosses. The Rosses were Scottish Presbyterians, and they had great social graces. They played music. Many of the kids got scholarships to college and this sort of thing. And many of the Rosses also were involved in civic committees and that sort of thing in Havre, Montana. If you were growing up with a family, you wanted your kids to hang out with the Rosses. They were extra cool, and people would say, yep, you're part of the haves. You've got good status. Now, then there were the have-nots in Havre, Montana. That was the Luckies. The Luckies didn't have social graces. They were the rough ones who were out in the mountains, kind of a deserted area outside of Havre, and they loved to shoot rattlesnakes. The Luckies were Roman Catholics, and they were oftentimes getting in trouble with the law. They were the have-nots. If you're raising kids and your children were out, you did not want to tell other people that you trick-or-treated with the Luckies in Havre, Montana. That was a bad thing. Now, you can imagine the scandal that happened when a Ross, my grandmother, married a Lucky, my grandfather. It was the scandal of the century in Havre, Montana. That story is kind of a funny one to tell, but isn't it true? Do we have haves and have-nots even here in Philomath? Yeah. Yeah? Thank you. Yeah. We have haves and have-nots throughout our country. It doesn't even depend on you. If you're born into the right circumstance, you're golden. If you're not, it's not going to go so well with you. Sociology says two things. Again, achieve something great or just be born into the right circumstance. That will give you a status. Jesus knew this when he preached his first sermon. It's here in Matthew chapter 5. And it's no back then, it's no different than it is today. Jesus, in the very beginning of his sermon, I think is addressing status. First sermon of Jesus Christ. Looking at Jesus as he was sitting in the boat and others were out looking at him were achievers. They thought they had status because they had achieved something. And there's nothing wrong with achieving. But I think of a man like Nicodemus in John's gospel. He had been the valedictorian of every school that he had gone to in his Jewish training. He was the valedictorian of valedictorians. He's like the guy that's got paperwork that shows all the badges that he's won. He's listening to Jesus' sermon here on status. Looking upon Jesus were also people who had status because they were just born into the right situation. And we know these two were there. James and John, the sons of Zebedee. They were special just because they were the sons of Zebedee. Their father owned a fishing business and was lucrative in his business. They hired quite a few people. Now, when John and James spoke, they were respected and they had status. Not so much because they had done something. The Gospels relate that they were looked upon as great because of their father, the sons of Zebedee. Now, out in the crowd with Jesus were also a bunch of have-nots. They weren't born into a great situation, and they also had not achieved anything, perhaps. Jesus says the most important status that you have in life is being blessed. That's a status. Being blessed. That doesn't have anything to do with achieving anything, and it doesn't have anything to have to do with being born into the right circumstance. And for those who were have-nots, what an interesting message. A message that revolutionized the world. A status that counts is being blessed. What does it mean to be blessed? Are you blessed? You want that social standing here this morning. Well, what blessed means technically, it comes from a Greek word called makarios. What that means is, I'm going to stick with a technical definition. Definitions matter to me. What that means is you are sure of your final destination. Blessed. You are sure of your final destination. That's what it originally meant. I think you're blessed. Have you ever gone on a trip and there's a lot of hassle with the trip? That's the way it oftentimes works with our family. We've got to smooth out the details of who's going to get the mail, and we've got to do all the laundry and pack it into the suitcases, and then we got to drive all the way up I-5 up to the airport. Then we got to go through security, and it's all a hassle, and it's all a mess. And there's just a five-second window in which Alicia and I will look at each other, and we realize, oh, the destination. That's why we're doing this, all this hassle. We're going somewhere. We know we're going to a destination. We know we're going to see our family or our loved ones. It makes all the hassle of doing all those things. It smooths it out. Friends, you have a destination. That's blessed has nothing to do with just being lucky or just being, it was a good day. That's the way we say it in secular world. Blessed has nothing to do with that. Blessed has, I know where my destination is. See, Jesus has prepared a place for you, he says in John chapter 14. As our text in Revelation says, it is a place with no tears, no hardship, no difficulty, no loss. You have a destination. And as we read the saints today in our worship service, we're recognizing they made the destination. That's what being blessed means. But blessed means a second thing. It means with the help of the Holy Spirit, not by ourselves, but with the help of the Holy Spirit, we're able to bring a piece of that destination, eternal life, into our present circumstances and relationships. And Jesus says this, this is what blessed is. He has some odd things. When you are meek, you're blessed. I saw that here at Peace this week. I saw someone give deferential treatment to another person. They wanted to speak, but they stepped back and let another person speak. Jesus says you're blessed when you're a peacemaker. I saw that at Peace this week. There's so many ways in which we get caught up in our arguments and what we think, and I saw someone take a step back and say what matters is the common good of what's going on here. Jesus says blessed is seeking, thirsting, and being hungry for righteousness. I've seen that here at Peace in Bible study, seeking ways to connect Jesus with other people. The most important status, you have a status. The status is blessed. Junior hires, I know it's tough. My confirmation students, we're going to gather here tonight. The most important status is not being an athlete. It's not being an academic. It's that you're blessed. You have a destination in Jesus. And that's true for every single person here at Peace Lutheran. So now, Elaine, I am going to post a Facebook status update. And here it is. Blessed to know my destination on All Saints Day. And I put my emoji, feeling blessed. And now I'm going to take a picture right here with my friends at Peace Lutheran. Oh, I'm so vain. There we go. Okay, for 30 seconds you can check your phones. I just posted it. Don't ever forget your most important status in life. You're blessed. Thanks be to God. Amen.